Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf ayin. We're holding the final line of Samach Tes Amid Beis Bo'i Rabba. On the side it says Bo'i Rabba. The Inyan Meiser Mai. What would be the halacha legabi Meiseris? Obviously, we're in the middle of a sugya. Otherwise, you can't just simply say the Inyan Meiser Mai. And to understand this sugya correctly, we should start from Bo'i Reb Shimon Ben Pazi. Where's Reb Shimon Ben Pazi? Roughly 8-9 lines before the wide lines. About 12-13 lines from the bottom of the Amid. Boy Reb Shimon Ben Pazi. Shiboilis Hevia Shlish. What exactly is a Shiboilis? It's an ear of grain. In other words, we're not talking about seeds, we're talking about the grain itself. Shehevia Shlish, which already was the size or the volume of a shlish of its normal growth. And from that point on, Tavu is considered to be Gmar Pri in terms of being Ro'oi for eventually doing Trumas and Maisris. It's certainly not that there's a Gmar Malach yet. The Gmar Malach will be at the time of the Miruach. What we do mean to say is that now it is considered to be gray. And Rashi says prior to that, it's called shachas ba'alma. Shachas is like straw and hay that you give to the animals. Once it's grown already a shlish, then it's already considered to be a pri. So what's the halacha? Shibuyla sheviya shlish koidim la'omer. Before the time of the omer. Now, the okra, and he was oikrit. Oikrit means that he went and cut it and he harvested it.
Oikrit or uprooted it?
Literally, you're right. But in terms of our Gemara, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have 100 workers, each one pulling it out with their hands. It could be that they went and cut it normally. The reason why you're saying, or the reason why the Gemara is saying it's uprooted is because of what we said a couple of days ago in the Gemara, which we're going to learn about today as well, that you're now allowed to do a ketzira prior to the ketzira sa'ima. So therefore, he uses the term akra. Abbasinishkefer, because you'll remember we had. You can do ktsira in a beis hashalchin where the tvu is inferior, and therefore it's not roi for purposes of bringing a carbon omer anyway. But I'm thank you for the correction, and let's continue on. So you have that shiboilis that already is a third of its growth, and it was already, because it had been planted before the omer has now passed through the okra, and he is an oikrit. Oikrit means, yes, you're right. He went and pulled it out, uprooted from the ground. This took place in Rashi before the Karban Oimer. Karban Oimer was now brought on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. As a result, could anybody and everybody eat from this Shiboilis? And the answer is yes. By the fact that the Karban Oimer has come and gone, there's no longer an Isra of Chodosh, therefore this Shiboilis, all this tour is great, is fine.
Even though he uprooted it before the
omer. Even though, that's normally what you would do before the omer. Typically, if you had your grain, it depends, of course, whether it's barley, whether it's wheat, whether it's any of the other of the five minim. But if you're talking about normally your barley, let's say, and you went and uprooted it before the omer came and went, so now that barley, go and process it into grain, not into grain, into flour. Go and make out of it barley bread, make out of it barley chalas, and it's kusha v'yusha, it's no longer a problem of chodesh, because he had the heter of the oimer. So far everybody's in agreement with the basic facts. What did he do now? But instead of going and taking this grain, this ear of grain, and using it for grinding, crushing, making it now into flour, into bread, etc., v'shosla the achar oimer. He went and replanted it in the ground. Vahisifa. And now it is grown. It's no longer the shlish. Lemoshal, now it's 50% or 80%. It's grown. So now, what is the shayla? The shayla is eventually after that, he cut it. Did he cut it by uprooting it or cutting it with a sickle? Doesn't make a difference. But the point is, he went and cut it. At this point, can we go and continue eating from this shiboilis? Continue. They didn't start eating, but they could have eaten from the shiboilis because it had the benefit of the oimer. But now by planting it again, do you have to wait for the next oimer next year to be able to eat from it? Because maybe by the fact that you put it into the ground, it has now changed the character of this original shiboilis, like the Gemara explains. Ma, what's the shaila basa ikar ozlinan? do you go after the original shiboilis the way it was planted initially? And therefore, v'shai oim, the oim had already been matered. So even though there's been this toisefes, the hoisifa, maybe you go basa ikr, and the oimer has been matered, the previous oimer, and now you can eat it without any problem. Oh, idilma basa toisefes, ozlinuna, maybe you have to wait because of the fact that you go after the toisefes, which is now added to the growth. That added growth has not had the benefit of the oimer. Maybe we have to wait until next year, and that new oimer then will be matir, this tvua, this shiboilis that has grown from a shiboilis of shlish and has been moisif. Let's be poishited from the following shayla. The shayla that we're going to ask now, and not the shayla, but the halach of Rabbi Yochanan, has to do with Hilchos Orla. What's the halacha of Orla? You all know that the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat from any of the new pears. What happened was, we have now a combination of brand new Orla saplings growth, as well as an old, old tree. So Yalda Shesovcha Zekena, a Yalda that you grafted onto a Zekena, to an old tree, Uba Peirois, and it had Peirois on them. The peiros that we're talking about is the peiros on the yalda. These peiros were all orla peiros. However, since I took the branch from the yalda tree and I'm now grafted it onto the old tree, the zakena tree, question is, what status do these peiros have now? They originally grew as orla, no question. But now that they have been merged onto, fused onto, attached to the zakena, even if it grew 200 times as much as it was originally, the reason why Rabbi Yochanan uses the expression because when it comes to orla and kilayim midrabanan, you have to have bittel be 200. Anything less than 200 is not mevatel the orla and kilayim. So here we had.
What does that mean?
You're familiar with Hilchos Bittel.
Yes.
Okay, so usually we talk about something being bottle beroith. Then there's a concept of bottle beshishim, 60 times as much. When it comes to truma, there's a concept of bottle bemeya, 100 times as much. When it comes to oral and kalayim, you have to have 200 times as much. What does that mean? Let's say I have here a sack full of delicious kosher apples. And I happen to have one apple that unfortunately is an orla apple. This orla apple falls into that big bag of the other apples. And I say to myself, oh no, I have a mixture of kilayim apples with regular apples. Take out all the apples and you count them. If you find that they're now 201, you go and get a sigh of relief and say, I can eat all the apples because the 200 is going to be mevatel that one bad guy.
But you have 150.
Oh, if you only have 150.
You don't, but you throw in, you go and get apples.
It's a nice idea, but you're not allowed to do that.
I'm just asking.
No, you did a very good question. As Barry said, if it already fell into the bag, then that's okay. But if it fell into only 150, or even only 198, so you only have 199 altogether, you're not allowed to add anymore. If by accident your housekeeper didn't know any better and she found some other apples, why there are apples here or there, and she combined them all together, and now we're over 200, well, it's not, you have the bittel. But chachil, you're now living the fuck. Anyway, so the point over here is, this small little pre, which was an orla pre, has now grown so much, it's 200 times as much. So I would think that the iser orla inside this apple, or whatever the pre happens to be, now it became bottle. Nein, a filahoizim masayim is osir. What's the reason why? Because you see that we go basir the ikr, meaning the original fruit, and not basir the toisefes, the fact that this fruit has grown so much. And I have a similar case. V'yom Reb Shmuel bar Nachmani, Reb Yoinasin, botzel, which is an onion, shesolah, sheshoslai, be'kerem, that they went and planted it in a kerem, in a vineyard. By the fact that you have now this onion in the vineyard, it now also becomes kelaim. whether it's Kalayim D'Araisa or not, that's from Masechtas Kalayim, because usually we think of Kalayim as being grain together with grapes and not onions, but nevertheless, at least midrabanan, it's asr. So this batzel shesoli the kerem, you planted there in the kerem, v'nekar a kerem, then afterwards the kerem was destroyed. Could be that they intentionally destroyed the kerem because of the fact that there is kilayim there, and the batzel still stays in the ground. In other words, they took out all the vines, all the grapes. You still have, however, these buried onions, or at least one buried onion. And eventually you uproot it. If we're going to say harvest, then Barry's going to say no, it's uprooting, I'm sorry. Even though it doesn't say akra over here, it's nekaraker. Even if it grew 200 times as much, sometimes you get go to the supermarket and see these huge onions. So it started off with a small little onion, now it's huge, it's 200 times as much. Oh, it became batel masayim. No, it's awesome. So I see from these two cases, both cases say the same halacha, that when you have, if you will, a conflict between the ikar and the Tosefos, you go after the original ikar. And therefore, even though the Tosefos will tell you it's 200 times as much, it should be regular tevel, should eventually be regular chulin after you give it to the mice. No, it remains us. Why? Because the ikar was us. So now getting back to our case here, we had this shiboilis, we put it into the ground, it had already grown a third, and we were oikar it, and then we went and waited for the oimer. The oimer was already matir it. Everybody would agree, yes, you can eat it right now, it's no longer chadash, but you put it back into the ground. And now it was hoisifa, and then eventually you cut it again. Do you have to wait until next year to be matir the oimer, or can you rely on the previous oimer? What's the shaila? Same shaila once again. Do you go after the ikar? The ikar was already kusha v'yusha because of the first oimer. Or do you go after the tesefes and now you're stuck until the next year oimer? So if you go after ikar or after tesefes, I have two different psakim of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonison. Both of them say the same thing in the case of Orla Lemoshel, that you go after the ikar and not after the tesefes, and that's why it remains awesome. So I can be pushing our shail over here too. You go bosa the ikar, and therefore yochlu anovim v'yizba'u. You should be able to go and eat immediately from this shiboilis and the tvua, and you don't have to go and wait until next year oimer. You go after the ikar. Zokti yimara nein. I, when I asked this question, says Reb Shimon Pazi, I knew about Reb Yochanan, and I knew about Reb Yonison. What was bothering me is, he kufa kami boile. Mifship Shitil Hul Rabbanan di Basar Ikras Linan, the fact that they were Machmir, both in the case of the Orla of the Yalda that was grafted on the Skena, and the case of the Batzel, in both cases that they said it's Osir. Maybe the reason why they did it is because it was a Chumra, or maybe because they hold that Taki always go Basar Ikr. And therefore, he Gufa Kami Baile. Mifship Shitil Rabbanan, is it a double Pasha to Rabbanan? The Basar Ikr as Linan, that you always go after the ikar. Leishna the kulu, leishna the chumra. Makes no difference whether you come out with a lenient ruling or with a chumra. And therefore, just like in those cases of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yonison, there was like a chumra. Because as a result of the fact, but even after it was Moisif Masayim, it continues to be Osir because the original Orla was Osir. Shiko Basa Ikar. But maybe that's only because of it being a chumra. Not necessarily that that's the halach in all cases. Because in our case, by the shiboilis, it's going to come out a tremendous kula if you go basa the ikar. Dosa the gemara shayla. Zok timar. He gufa kama boilu, mipshav shitlu le rabbanan. Is it a double pasha the basa ikar? You always go basa ikar. Lo yishna le kula, lo yishna le chumra. And therefore, we'll have a tremendous kula. We'll be able to eat from that shiboilis. Or idel masvukim asapkalahu. Or maybe there's a safik. And that's why they were machmir in the case of the batzel, in the case of the yalda, because they went lechumra. But lechumra, mefshe kul and nefshe nisht. So to mataiku, tishbi yatarit. Yes, Robert, you have a question.
What was the reason that Rabbanan established 200 instead of 100 gabbe klaim? In other words, since they were, what logic did they use that this is 100, this is 200?
You're asking a very good question. Frankly, I don't remember. I believe that they had an asmachta from Psukim, but what was the svara behind it? Could be that Kalayim and Orla is considered to be a very, very chomerdik iser, because it's not only an iser achila, it's even an iser hano. And therefore, it could be that they felt that it's so chomer that we have to add on even one additional. But I think the more bases it on a smachta from Sukkot. But a good gefecht. Anyway, so now that we have established that there is a suffix whether you go after Iker at all times, or only L'chumra, so now the Gemara asks almost an identical question, Boi Rabba, on the side says, Boi Rabba, L'inyan Meiser Mai, what would be the din L'gabe Meiser? Well, what do you mean L'gabe Meiser? Hey, Chidami, what's the case? Keep going. And now we're going through the facts. The Amdinu over here does not mean Mida, but it means that they cut a Shiboilis, just like we spoke about the Shiboilis until now, Nochem L'Shiboilis, but not just one, there were at least 10 or 100, they were cut. V'yasrinu, and the farmer did what he was supposed to, he gave Allah Trumas and Maisras, and now it has a din of regular Chulin. V'shaslinu, and he replanted it in the ground. V'hoisifalahu, and guess what? Baruch Hashem, these ears of wheat or of grain, they grew even further. And eventually he harvested it. Now the question is, number one, does he have to go and give a new Meiser at all? Or maybe I will say, it's already gepatered. I already gave the Trumas of Meisras the first time. I don't have to pay a second toll or a second tax. And if you say that you do have to pay because of the fact that it's grown, do you have to pay only on the new portion, the Tosefet? Or do you even have to go and pay on the Iker? And that's the Gemara Shaila at this point. The Amdinu, that they did a tzira of Shiboilim, Vasrin, they gave Meiser, Vishaslin, when we replanted it, Vayisifalahu, and they grew, Baruch Hashem, more. So now says Igmar, Imtim Tzaloimar, if you're going to go and be poishet the previous Shaila that we asked the Gabe, the Hilchus Chodosh, Loyazlinim Basa Iker, that you don't go basa Iker, because over here, if you would go after Iker, you would have a kula. So you don't go after Iker only by chumra, but not by kula. So if you say loyazlin, in other words, if we want basa Iker, then you'd be potter. Nothing more to discuss. But if you say loyazlin and basa Iker, the Tosef is boy isure, and you do have to give maiser from the Tosefes, Iker mai. Question is, what about Iker? Do I have to give on the Iker as well? In other words, I was able to go and measure the Shiboilis. Originally, it had the whole, we had the 10 Shiboilis, and the total 10 Shiboilis, and all together, they were, the marshal, 10 pounds of tvua. By the fact that I replanted it, now it's grown, now it's 20. So now do I have to go and give the marshal for Mas Arishan 10% of just the additional 10? Or do I have to give 10% of the whole 20? Because now it's like a panim chadoshes bozakan. So the Gemara is now building on the previous Shaila of before. And that's why we repeated this whole Gemara from before. If you were to go and say that you always go basa Iker, bein lekula, bein lechumra, then I don't have to give Meisra again. I already gave Meisra one time. If you say, however, no, when it comes lechumra, you have to go basa Tosefes, so then I have a double question. Question number one is, do I have to go and give them? Do I have to be machmer because they only go basa Iker, the kula, and not lechumra? So I do have to give meiser. And number two, if I do I also have to give a re-meiser for the original portion that I already gave meiser a month ago or 2 months ago? Don't dig marsha. So Abaye now looks at Rav and he says to him, I don't really understand your question. Maishna mikol chiti v'sari da'alma. Isn't this... Sorry?
Every year you plant...
Every time you have a planting season, what do? You always go and put it... You put in chitim and saris. And our Gemara doesn't go into it, but in Seder's Roim, it says that you're not supposed to go and plant tevel for the next year's crop. You're only supposed to go and plant from chulin. So therefore, by definition, all the seeds that you're putting into the ground were already chulin. Why were they already chulin? Because you already gave your trumas and maisis already the first time. So then... when it grows, and Baruch Hashem, you have now new tvu and all the rest, according to your Shaila, do you go basa Iker? Don't you go? You never go basa Iker. You always go based on the new growth. Because if you go basa Iker, then you never have to go and give Trumas Mice. Only in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, you'd have to give it, and you wouldn't have, or Yeshua Ben Nun, you wouldn't have to give it anymore today. Zokti Yamara Amalei, so Rava said back to Abaya, the Kasha Nishka Kasha. Dovish Azari Kolulei, Kiboyali. You're talking about putting seeds in the ground. If you were to go afterwards and dig up those seeds in a month from now, you would see that there are no seeds left, because the seeds are zarekol. It means they disintegrate into the ground and nothing left. What is left? Of course, the nourishment of those seeds goes into the roots, and the roots eventually grows, and then you have your tvua. Beautiful. However, the original seeds, nishda. Therefore, there's no shayla with you go basa ikri basa tzisefes. There is no ikri left. That's our shayla here by the Gabbai, the shiboilis. The shiboilis, that original ear of grain that you went and planted in the ground. You come back a month later, it's still there, but Baruch Hashem, it's grown, and you feel very good. Oh, good that I replanted it, because look how much more growth I've gotten. Ah, Givaldi. So since Ein Zarei Kola, the question is, that Iker is still Be'en. Do you go and say, I go Baser Iker as Linan, Bein Lechomer, Bein Lekula, and if I don't have to give Trumas and Maisus again, because I this Shiboilis, it's marked. You can even see it's marked with a pen that I already gave, etc. Or do you go and say, no, as a result of the Tisefis, you have to go and give new Maiser, maybe even have to give Maiser on the original Iker. It's my. So what's the halach? I have a direct answer from Rabbi Yochanan. Litra batzel, litra is a volume, just like we have a litter in English. You have litra batzel of betzolim of onions. Shetiknu, the word shetiknu, says Rashi, means that we already gave trumas and maisris from. And he decided to go and put these betzolim, these onions, back in the ground. Uzroy, once again, so it's basically the same case as the tvua case. Instead of putting a shiboilis of tvua in the ground, he took the batzel, which he already gave from his mice, and he put it back in the ground. Mitzaser lefi kuloi. Eventually, when he harvests it, whether it's going to be in a month or 6 months from now, the Baruch Hashem, these batzolim have now grown 100%, 200%, 500%. You have to go and give mice not only on the new growth, but even on the old growth. Also, the Chayyah have a direct answer to the Shaila of Rava. There, too, the same thing should apply. That now, Baruch Hashem, that the Tvua has grown and grown and grown. Not only do you have to give from the Toisefes, but even from the Iker, you have to go and give Trumas and Maisres. Everything more, says Rava, I knew of this halacha of Rabbi Yochanan. The reason why that doesn't answer my Shaila. Hasam Hainuz Riyasai. Hachalav Hainuz Riyasai. That's the derech. If you want to go and produce nice, large-size onions, this is what the onion farmers would do on a regular basis. They would take these baby bulbs, these baby onions, they would plant in the ground, and then, Baruch Hashem, a month later, 2 months later, you have these huge onions. I don't know if any of you ever go into the fruit department or the vegetable department of your supermarkets, whatever. You can go and buy regular onions, and then you can buy these really mammoth-sized onions. How do they grow these onions? By taking the baby onions, putting them back into the ground, and then they grow. Ah, so therefore, the Gemara is saying is, since that's the Derech Zriya, that's how all the farmers do it, then it's understandable that when the Kodesh Baruch Hu said that it's a din of giving Trumas and Maisres, it means tak on the whole thing, because that's the Derech Gidul, that's the Derech Zriya. Here we're talking about a very unusual situation that somebody replanted a shiboilis. You don't normally replant shiboilis. You normally go and take that shiboilis, you go and grind it up and do all the processing, and then part of what you're going to find are the seeds, and you take those seeds eventually and you replant them. You don't go and plant the shiboilis itself. Since this happens to be such a rare, infrequent type of situation, says Rav, I'm still stuck with my original question. Do we go Basar Iker, and since I already gave Meiser before, I'm off the hook? Or do I say, in fact, you go Basar Tisefes, and if I go Basar Tisefes, the question is, do I also have to go and give Meiser even from the original part? And that is still my Shaila. So now the Gemara brings a Shaila, which on the surface is almost the same. Let me ask you about an Otzit She'ena Nokuv Mahu. You grew Tavu Ala Moshel, in an otzitz, we normally translate as a flower pot, she'ena nokav, that has no hole on the bottom. If it has a hole, it's as if you're planting directly into the ground, because even if the flower pot is not on the floor, halachically we look upon the ear space in between as non-existent, and therefore the roots and the flowers, and not the flowers so much, but the grain or peiros that are growing inside the tzotzitz, we look upon them as if they are attached to the ground, and they're mechuyev and trumas and maisus like anything that grows directly from the ground. But here we started with the otzitz she'ena nokav. on the bottom, it was totally complete. There were no holds whatsoever. Therefore, min ha-toira, it's clearly part. It's mechui midraban. But min ha-toira, it's clearly part. So now the question is, mahu, what's the din? Now the Gemara doesn't explain what his shaila is. What do you mean, what's the din? The din is that you're part of min ha-toira, you're mechui midraban. Well, what's my shaila? Zikzimor mahu, ilay nokav, halay nokav. If in fact there's no hold, then there's no hold. So, what are you posing? If it has a hole, then of course it's mechui. If it has no hole, it's potter min ha-toira. So what? Shaila is dil mechazer unekovei. Unekovei ko'amris. What does that mean? That means that Tataki already had tvua, whatever, peiris, growing inside this otet she'en enakov. They've reached the moshel halfway of their growth. I could, if I wanted to, uproot them, pluck them out, cut them, harvest them, do whatever I want with them. And then I would be able to, of course, I have to give my trumas maizim midrabanan, and then I could eat it. But guess what this individual did? He says, you know, since it's an otet she'en enakov, it's shvach. These are not really first-class peiris. I'm going to make a hole underneath the otzitz, and now it's going to be an otzitz nokov. So, if you think about it for a moment, what happens is that this gemara now is very similar to the previous gemara. What do you mean? That we start off with something which is potur min ha-toira, and now we want to know, will it become mechuyev min ha-toira? Just like we started off with, if you took a shiboylis that you had already given trumas ha-maiser, so it's totally chulin. You can eat it, you know, no problem. You have to make a bruch, of course. But otherwise, there was no problem with trumas ha-maiser because you already gave trumas ha-maiser. And now the shail is, you went and replanted it. Do you have to give nochemul trumas ha-maiser on the tesefis, on the ikr? So l'chori, they have the same type of situation over here, that the original peiros growing out in this otzitz are also potter mitrumas ha-maiser, min ha-toira. And the only reason why we have a chiv now is because I made now a nekiv. Oh, so if I go basa iker, then it's like Rav's shaila that I started off with peiros, which are exempt from trumas and maizers. In Rav's case, the reason was because I already gave trumas and maizers. Here in this case, is because I don't have to give trumas and maizers min ha-toira because of the fact it's an otzit she'en enakov. But now I have tosefes which has grown on this, after the hole was put into this flower pot. So now I am adding tosefes. Does that tosefes require now trumas and maizers? And if it does, why say that the ikar is also now mechuyev in trumas and maizers? So it's like the kasha or the shaila at the top. So this is what Reb Chanina bar Menuhin said to Abaya. L'chor, you have the same question. And for the Gemara, really, you cannot be poshed it the same way. In other words, whatever you're going to decide with Rava, you cannot automatically decide that that's the same halacha over here, because these are really not on all fours. These are really not fully parallel. Why? Hacha chod zriyahi. Here it's the same zriya that you started off with initially. It's still in the ground. You have not uprooted. You have not harvested. So it's still that same peiros, same tvua inside the otzitz, which continues to grow. And therefore, ichburi hu dekamechabra v'oila. What's happening is, it's that original exempt growth just continues growing, and it's all the chodizrihi. There was no intervening harvesting or plucking or uprooting. A bahasam, the case of Rava, I started off with my first zriya. I already gave all my trumas and maizers, and now I'm putting into the ground a second time. Oh, it's a brand new zriya. So therefore, it could very well be in Rava's case, since it's a brand new zriya, you have to give a brand new trumas and maizres. Well, it could be in the Abaya's case, since the person didn't, the question that was posed to Abaya about this otzit she'en enakov, since we started off with exempt tvua, because min ha-toira you're exempt, so maybe that exemption continues until you finally harvest it after you already put a hole inside the pot. So bottom line is, you cannot bring a raya one to the other, and we stay with two shaitas. But now we have a new shaila. Boyra bavo. Shiboylis shemorcha bikri vishosla. The korilei shem b'mechubar mal. Oh, a very interesting situation. We all know that when you have new tvua, you have new peiros, you have to give trumas and maizers. But the trumas and maizers have to be given after the ktsira, after you've went and done your harvesting. And even after the harvesting, you cannot do it yet. You have to wait until it gets a gemar peiri when you do the miruach. Miruach means you put it into a heap and you smooth it out, etc. The maizah, If in fact you gave it a shame trumas and maisus after the harvest, even before the miruach, b'diyeved your yoitze, and it has a shame truma. But you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to wait until after the gemar pei. Okay. So what happened over here? You had a shibolish shemorcha b'kri. So clearly we had the gemar pri, and at this point you could have, would have, should have given trumas and maisus. And what did the person decide to do? Fishasla, he decided to go and plant it once again back into the ground. And when it was in the ground, the korolei shem b'mechuber, he said, "Oh, I never gave my trumas and maisus. That's right. You're not supposed to replant this when it's tevel. I should have given trumas and maisus. Yeah, yeah. Let's go and call it now truma and maisus. Let's go and say the 10%, 2%, 10%, etc. should be designated. Very good. Ismael, what's the halacha now? Kiven de morcha tovla la. Excuse me. Since he already did it miruach." Before he replanted into the ground, so therefore it has now officially become tevel, which is roi to go and be mafesh trumas and maestres. So kikora le shem kitshula. So then, even though it's no longer in the kri after the miruach, but he's planted it back in the ground. But since it was tevel, it's become full fledged tevel. So let's call it trumas and maestres right now. Once it's still in the ground, then give it a shem truma and maestres. Oy dilma kimin de shasla. Or maybe you say, since I replanted it, that shame tevel that it had has now gone away, and I cannot go and give trumas and maisris b'mechuber. I have to wait until it's cut, and then I'll go and give trumas and maisris at that time. So, Amalei Rabban Labaya, in Cain, based on your facts, the way you presented it, matzinu truma b'mechuber l'karka. What you're saying is, if you hold according to the tzad, that since it was already miruach, it is now already fully graduated into tevel, and therefore you can go and give it a shame. Trumas and maisus now b'mechuber. Based on what you're saying, this is something which goes against the Mefeirish and Mishnah. Utnah lo matzinu truma b'mechuber l'karka. We never found such a situation. Why not? I have a very good situation to take your tvuah, plant it. In other words, take your seeds, plant it, let it grow. After it fully grows, whatever full of growth it was, then you went and plucked it out, or you cut it, or you uprooted it, whatever you did to go and sever its relationship to the soil. You did your full-fledged miruach. Now all the rabbanim tell you, well, you have to give my trumas and maisus. And he was going to give his trumas and maisus. But for whatever reason, he decided to go and plant it back in the ground. And now it's 2 weeks later. Everybody confirms, yes, it's re-rooted in the ground. Can I go and call it trumas and maisus now? So that's your shaila. No such thing. So of course you cannot call it truma now. You got to wait until after it's cut a second time. So he answered him, don't bring me a raya from that Mishnah, Kitanya Hi, or that price. That price is referring to the inyan ichiyuve misa v'choymish. That is not talking about whether or not there's a din, whether the truma will be chal for purposes that I gave a good truma meiser, because this is full-fledged tevel, and now I've been yotze my chiv of being mafish trumas and meisers. No. That gemara over there, when it says lemetzina truma chum lekarka, means that if you were to go and eat from that peri or that tfua, which is mechum lekarka, you will not get misa v'choymish. What means you don't get misa v'choymish? Misa if you ate it b'mezen, choymish if you ate it b'shogeg. You do not have to be moise of a chaymish. That is not going to happen. Why is it not going to happen? Says Yimora, on a practical level, it's impossible. What do you mean it's impossible? Once I was mafrish, and I said that this standing tvur, or these peiros on the tree, that they have a din now of truma, now what's the person going to do? To go and be over and get misa, or get chaymish, it must mean that he ate it. Now how do you go and eat something which is mechubel karka? He got two choices. If you're telling me that he went and was tolish it, that he uprooted it and he ate it, guess what? It's no longer mechuber the karka. If it's no longer mechuber, yes, he is now susceptible to misa v'chaymish. V'igochem v'ochel, if instead of going and plucking it out, he decided he's going to eat it from the ground, nebuch. So he went and bent over and he started eating it. But l'dayte eats a kalodim. That's not a normal way that a person eats, and therefore this wouldn't have a teiras achila. If it doesn't have a teiras achila, then again there's no chiyav a misa v'chaymish. And so therefore that's what the Gemara is saying, is that that braiso, that mishnah that we just learned, that means v'gabei misa v'chaymish. But it doesn't mean that you cannot call it a shame truma meiser. Maybe you can give it a shame truma meiser, so that after that, when you eventually do harvest it and you produce it and process it, you don't have to give trumas and meisers again because you already gave it.
Trumas so with pot or other grain that he has of the same species in the same year.
Okay.
It's not just a question of the tevel in the ground. It's the tevel he has elsewhere that's smooth and is relying on that.
Very good. Beautiful. So bottom line is, Zokti Gemara, that therefore don't bring me a raya from that mishnah, that braisa, when it says that that's talking gabi the oinish, not the gabi whether you can be koire shame of truma on it. For Eiti Mora, I have a similar situation over here. Don't, please do not get upset. Umayshna medekosav a pinkis or the ilfa. Ilfa had written down on his pinkis in his notebook the halacha bei nevelas or oif hatohar miktsosim bechutz miktsosim befnim. We all know the halacha is by a nevelas oiftor. Oiftor means, think of, for instance, our chickens that you buy. You go to the store, you buy a Purdue chicken. It says the fetish on it. This is certified non-kosher by all rabbinical authorities. Non-kosher. It's a treif. It's a nevela. What happens if the person picks it up and he does a hagvah glilu with it, and he does a nianuim, and he kisses it and he embraces it? Oh, he touched a nevela, he should become tame. And the answer is no, that end of becoming tame by nevela is only by bahaima and not by an oif. The Gemara learns from Sukkim that by an oif tohar, we're only talking about kosher birds, if a person ingests a nevela, and his base ablia, and it went down, and and he ate at least a share of kazayis, so went down the base of Leah, then he becomes Tamei. Now, we're not only talking about the meat of the oif tahar, now we're also going to talk about the eggs of an oif tahar. Eggs, what are you talking about? Okay, so we are familiar with buying eggs in the store in these nice containers, which throughout the year usually cost around 99 cents, and before Pesach they usually go skyrocketing to $4.99 because if they found a chicken in Texas that got sick. But it doesn't make a difference. But the point is, we're not used to going and eating eggs directly from the chicken. Here, we have an Avelis Oif Tohar, where the oif, unfortunately, just died. There was a very small avaya, no, don't worry about it. Miktsas and mechutz, and we found that there were eggs that had been laid a minute or 5 minutes or 10 minutes before the oif died, and there were still some eggs inside. And those eggs don't even necessarily have to have shells on them. They could have still been in gelled form, so to speak. Yeah. And now
they can be jelly instead of shelly.
I didn't want to say, you know, there's a relationship to your name. Right, I didn't think you would think that such a fine comment talking about shelly and eggs. But it was an extraordinary, the eggs, yeah, extraordinary.
Shelly,
yeah, exactly. Anyway, so this person now ate from those eggs. So the question is, which eggs did he eat from? If he ate me befnim, those that were still inside the oif, and he goes and slurps it down, we're not recommending it, but this is what he did. And he ate at least a share of it, because it went down the base of Blia, but time we go to the base of Blia. Why? Because even though this was the egg, this was not the meat of the nevela seftar. That makes no difference. The point is, he ate nevela seftar.
It's no joke.
It's no joke. No yolk. No joke. Exactly. However, if he ate from those eggs, which were bachutz, which had already been laid, that's already a different story. Those are not even fleishiks, right? I think most of the people eat eggs and not concerned if they eat it with mochiks. It's already a separate entity. So now this egg that was laid already, and he ate it, and that's no problem. So that's imetam v'gano abesablia. So what do I see from all of this? I see that people do sometimes eat things which are mechuber. Not mechuber to karka, but mechuber to the bird. So why did you say before that igochen v'ochel but l'dayte it's kolonim? If you go and bend over to go and eat from the tool from the ground, that's not the way a normal person eats. You should say over here too, when a person were to go and eat from these eggs which are still bifnim, by slurping them and pulling them and all the rest, that's not a way you normally eat. So therefore you should not have a din of being metamei by eating nevelas after I didn't eat it. I did this crazy thing of slurping it. Ever the Gemara, it really depends on whether you're talking about eggs or you're talking about tvur. Each thing is different. When you're talking about the eggs which are inside, even though they're still inside, but there are people that eat it that way. Can you imagine? By slurping and eating it directly from the chicken. Mashenk, when it comes to tvu, which is attached to the ground, nobody eats it that way, and this person is therefore slightly deranged if he eats it that way, and that's why he would be potter from miso or from chaylish. We have one final shayla before the Mishnah, Amr of Tumyumi Bar Kisna Omer Shmuel, Hazreya Kilayim Ba'otet She'en Nokuv, is awesome. What happens if you went and planted kilayim in an otet she'en nokuv? Again, in a flower pot, which did not have a hole, so therefore it's not really considered to be real bona fide kilayim min ha-toira. It's only kilayim midrabanan, because it's not growing from the ground. But inside this flower pot, I guess it must have been a fairly large flower pot, because he was growing in it different minim, such as, for instance, tvur and grapes, all together in that same otet she'en nokuv. So you have now kilayim, say Shmuel, it's asur.
Absolutely.
Now the question the Gemara wants to know is, what's the chiddush of Shmuel? That we're talking about kilayim derabanan, that's a well-known fact. We're going to have a Mishnah momentarily. So what is he coming to tell us? Omer Rabbi, Bish loyma, if Shmuel is trying to tell us, Iashmin and loike, makis mardis midrabanan, when he's saying osur, he didn't really mean just to tell us that it's prohibited. What he really meant to say is, and if you have Edim and with Asra, you can't get Malkus Manatoira, because the whole Isra Kalayim here is only Drabanan, but you can go and get Malkus Mardis, and they give you a patch Midrabanan. If that's the Chiddush Shmuel and Shaper, then I understand why he had to say it. El Osir Maikamash Malan. Why is he telling us that it's osur? The Midrabanan have Yizriya, that this type of Otsut She'en Nokov has a status of a drabanan de kizriya. Tenidosum shulang gelent. Where did we learn it? Not necessarily gabi hilchois kilayim. We learn the gabi hilchis tevel and truma. That what? Tanina Torah misha'ena nokov al hanokov. What happens if a person gave truma from an otet she'ena nokov on other tvua which was nokov, which was what Barry was talking about 5 minutes ago? So now, is this a good truma? You're allowed to go and take truma from one on the other. It has to, of course, be the same mint. You can't go and give from wheat onto barley and barley onto wheat. You can't give from apples onto oranges or oranges to apples, because that would be a case of apples and oranges. However, as well as it has to be from the same season. You can't go and give from Tufshin Pei Bo for Tufshin Pei Hay and vice versa. Fine. But what about he gave truma she'ena nokov al hanokov? Shteitot in the Braisa, truma, it's considered to be truma. It's a Mishnah, not a Braisa. It's a Mishnah, Mesechus Tamai. So all the Amirim agree that there's such a Mishnah. Says to me, what did we learn? Torah, Mishayin, Nokav, Al HaNokav, Truma, V'yachzor, V'yitra. The fact that he has to be Choyze, V'yitra means that the first Truma was not effective. Why? Because it was Mimtur, Al HaChiev. All of that grew in the Otzit Shein HaNokav is Potter Min HaToyra. It's only M'chui Midraban. Since it's Potter Min HaToyra, the truma that he gave from that one on to the Otzit Hanokov was really worthless. So you have to give truma again. Why do you say that it says truma that is truma? That's midraban. Because Rabbanan felt, once you give something a name, truma, and they're going to say, no, it's really not truma, it was a mistake, it's fine, it's good, then what's going to happen is people will be mezalzel. So once you gave it a shame truma, it has a shame truma, but you have to go and give truma once again. Obviously not from the Ein HaNokov al HaNokov, from the Nokov al HaNokov, and from the Ein HaNokov al the Ein HaNokov. You can't mix the two because of Tur al Hachiv.
And if it were reversed, if you
can
did,
we just finish?
Yeah.
So what do I see from that Mishnah? I see from the Mishnah crystal clearly that anything that grows in an Otich Ein HaNokov is Mechui Midraban. So what do I need Rav Tevyumi Bar Kisna to say in the name of Shmuel? That Kilayim Otich Ein HaNokov is Osir, meaning Osir Midrabanan. I know that it's Osir Midrabanan. That's that Mishnah by Truman. Elamai, the fact that he felt it was necessary to repeat this halacha, Muzdach Zang, he's not just telling us the Isid Rabbanan, but he's telling us that there's also Malkis of Makis Mardis Midrabanan. Yes, sir.
And if it was, so that was, he gave from the Tur al Achiev. So if he had Truma, it was Chayv Midoraisa, and he was Torem, and he said, let me also include this on this other Truma from a sealed container.
Mm-hmm.
So would he be b'chayev to give on the atzah she'en nokov anyway, even though he gave truma from the rest? Because I see why you're not, it's not effective. You're doing something that's pater on chiyav, it's not working. But if you give something from Chiyav on Patur, mm-hmm. you didn't have to give it anyway. So yeah, does he still true. Have to go and give Midrabanan? Is it does that work?
It does not work. Why doesn't it work?
Is it still Midrabanan, Midrabanan?
No, there's a better reason. If you remember, we had a case of a person who gave more than 10% Maaser. He gave 20% Maaser. Oh, really nice guy. He's a tzaddik.
He didn't know what Maaser meant.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, this is an unusual situation because most people don't give 20% for Maaser. He did give. So Gemara said that the Tevel is Mesukan, but now the Maaser is Mekulkalin. Why is the Maaser Mekulkal? Because half of that 20%, you didn't go and give true mice from that, you didn't give mice from that, and all the rest. Meaning that since you've been magdal from you had originally 100, from the 100, instead of taking 10 for mice, you've taken 20 for mice. So 10 of them, you didn't have the benefit of giving the trumas of mice from those right. 10 itself. Mm-hmm. Those 10 you've combined together with the other 10. So here too, if you're going to go and give nachiv al aptur, and you say, okay, I'm going to put aside 10-20% trumas, maises, whatever, you're doing that on the einoy nokov, which is not mechuyev, so then you were not properly mafresh trumas and maises on that part that you were matrim from the otzah hanokov.
Yes, sir, can you
exactly. Okay. And we continue on to
the next one. The 2% is okay.
I'm sorry?
To begin with.
But he didn't designate from that 10%. He made that into maiser, so therefore he did not go and give from that the proper types of the 2%, 10%, Maaser Sheni, Maaser Ani, and all the rest, because he treated that as Maaser Rishon. It's not really Maaser Rishon. It's Maaser Rishon mixed in with 10% of Tevel, and from that other 10% of Tevel, you have to go and give all your normal hafrashes. And we go on to the next Mishnah. Let's look at the next Mishnah. Hachita Masa'inim Vakusim Vashiboy Lishua Vahashipoy. We have these five separate minim, all different types of grain. Chitin is wheat, so'irin is barley, kusmin is spelt, shiboy l'shul is oats, and shipun is rye. These are the five different types of tzua that we're talking about. Five
minei dog. The motzi matzah.
That's true. And ironically, we don't talk about matzah yet, but now we talk about challah. Hare'el chayom b'challah. Of course, we don't mean challah in the forms of the challah that we eat Shabbos. It means that you have to give challah min ha'isa, you have to give to the kahanim, or bismanazay, you have to go and burn. Anyway, lemaisa, we're going to have a whole bunch of halachas vis-a-vis these five types of grain. Number one, are ilchiyav mechala. If a person goes and makes a batter of dough out of any of these five, chay mechala. Umitzdarf and zem and zem. If you go and make a batter and you combine the two, a chita with a kusmin, with a shibon, multi-grain, again, you be chay b'chal, as long, of course, as you have the full volume that you need to have your isorin. V'asur mechodosh melefnei ha-pesach, u'miliktzer melefnei ha-oimer. Now, the Gemara, the Mishnah, uses the term by chodosh melefnei ha-pesach and liktzer melefnei ha-oimer. L'choyre, this language is not exactly meticulous, because asur mechodosh melefnei ha-pesach. Melefnei ha-pesach means before Pesach begins. So once Pesach begins, you're allowed to eat chodosh. Can't eat chodesh yet. You still have to go and wait until first day Chol HaMoed. And if the Beis Hamikdash is standing, you have to wait until you bring your korban HaOmer. If the Beis Hamikdash is not standing, then we have our machloikis, whether Heir Mizrach is matir, or maybe only at the end of the day. And then we have Rabbi Yechon Mezakai that made his takana, Yemet Nafka Kulei. So because of these questions and issues, you have a tumult here in our Mishnah, as well as on the Amud Beis, as to the correct girsa. Our Mishnah, as you see, it says Vasur Mechodesh Melech Pesach Umeniktzel Lefnei Oimer. On the, if you look at the Vov, which should be in Shinui Nischois, you probably have the Shita Mekubetzu. Maybe you also have. Okay, so you see the Vov. He changed Vasur Mechodesh not Lefnei Pesach, Lefnei Oimer, and the next Umeniktzel. Lefnei Oimer, he changes that Lefnei HaPesach. Now, it might seem to you, well, it doesn't sound so important. Mitchum on the Amud Beis, this is going to have major importance in terms of a Machloikis HaMeiroim in explaining a halacha involving our Mishnah. So, we're going to change the gears now. In other words, learn like the Shinui Nischois, that Asur Mechodesh Lefnei HaOimer, you cannot go and eat from the Chodesh before the Oimer is brought. That's Avos Oimer in the morning. You cannot do Ketzira before Yontif, before Pesach. Why can't you do it before Pesach? So we're going to learn in Yetzirah Shem and the Amud Beis, because it says, Reishis Ketzirchem, that the Ktzir's Oimer has to be the first Ktzir. So you're not allowed to be Koitzer before that. How quickly could you be Koitzer? Right after you do the Ktzir's Oimer on Matzah Yontif HaRishon.
In that morning period then.
You don't even have to wait till the morning. You can even do it at night. In other words, if they, right after Havdalah, they were able to cut it at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock you can already go and be Koitzer. So therefore, it's also Liktzar, not before the Oimer is brought the next morning, but Lefnei HaPesach, before Yontif. Because as soon as Yom Tov is over, and they've done the Ktzira, you may have to put that in parentheses, you did the Ktzira, then you can immediately go and do the Ktzira on the other two as well. Im Hishrishu, okay, now we have a separate halacha, and that is what happens legabe Oimer. We normally think of Oimer being Matir Chodosh, all the new Tvua that has already been harvested, and if you go to Shukin Yerushalayim, and you see that it's Mole Kemach, so then you've brought your Korban Oimer, it's matir all of that kemach. Some of the Tanoim were happy, and some of the Tanoim were not happy that it was mole kemach. But that's not the issue. The issue is, we normally think of Oimer being matir to Tvua, or even the finished product, that's the flour. What our Mishnah says is, you don't even need that. Im hishrishu kardim la'oimer, at the time of the bringing the Korban Oimer, you had planted seeds a week ago, a month ago, and now you look underground and you see, hey, Baruch Hashem, they've gotten rooted into the ground. Mm-hmm. And now the Korban HaOmer is brought, then you can go and eventually eat from that Tvua when it's harvested in a month or 2 months or 3 months from now, even though at this time it's not Roy Lachila, it's just Shiroshim in the ground. But you had the already, the Omer was already matured. So Mishrishu Korban HaOmer, Omer Matir, the Imlav, however, if it was not Mushish, even though it was in the ground, but it was not Mushish in the ground, Asura, well, you have to wait until next year, until the next time.
Makes sense, because if the barley is the early crop and the wheat's still in the ground, mm-hmm. then people have to always be, you know, are waiting a year later. So it makes sense that the Omer is matter stuff that's in existence and rooted.
Yes, it does. Makes a lot of sense. Yishakoyach. So we start now the Gemara, and first we investigate what these five different minim are. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Kusmin are min chitim. Kusmin is spelt, that's considered to be a subcategory of wheat. Mm-hmm. Shiboyle shuol, which is oats, and shipan, which is rye, min tz'ayrim, is considered to be a subcategory of barley. And now we're going to give us Aramaic terms. Kusmin is what we call gulva. What's gulva? So you see the Rashi, who uses apparently a French term, which is very similar to our English term of spelt, called espalito or espalto.
Oh,
apparently it's spelled, differently.
Right,
it's spelled differently, but apparently it's still the same spell.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have shipoin. Shipoin is the rye, that's called dishra. And shibule shuol, which is the oats, that's called shibule tala. Says the Gemara, why did I enumerate those five? What's the chashivas? Hani in oiriz v'doichin loy. Only these five have the din of being mafresh chala. If you put together an chalam and an isa, you put together a dough from any one of these five, yes, you have to go and give chala. However, if you make a dough out of oiriz or doichin, oiriz is rice, doichin is millet, that's how it's normally defined, although it's a machlokes rishonim, but that's how we normally learn oiriz or doichin is rice and millet. Even though you can make rice cakes, and you can make, for those people that are gluten-free, or for whatever reason they don't want to eat of any of the five different minim, today you have all different types of flour. You can get soy flour, you can get almond flour. And presumably, although they don't rise to the occasion like your normal, regular type of breads, or matzahs, or cakes, or whatever, but many people use that today for baking. So, do you have to go and give challah from Oiris V'doichen? And our Mishnah said, no, only those five. No way. Good.
And you don't say Amosi.
You don't say Amosi either. Good. Mino Anamili, how do we know that there is a distinction between the five and those other two? Amrish Lakish, Asya Lechem, Lechem Mimatzah. We're going to learn Lechem, Lechem Mimatzah. On the surface, it sounds kind of ironic, learning Lechem Mimatzah, but that's the way it is. What means Lechem, Lechem Mimatzah? Ksiv Hocha. Here by Hilchis Chala, it says, V'yibacholchem Milechem Ha'aret, when you want to go and eat from the bread of the land. So the Pasuk says, Terimu Truma Lashem, you have to give your truma. It doesn't mean the truma that we're thinking of, the truma from the 2% or the chita achas b'teres esakri. This truma means a hafrosha that you give to the kahanim, which is what we call chala. And there are other psukim that say chala terimu truma. So, but it calls chala with the word lechem. Uksiv Hosam. Hosam means by Pesach. It says Lechem Oini. Right? It says Leisoich Olav Chomet. Shivas Yom Toich Olav Matzois Lechem Oini. Okay, Lechem Oini. So just like when it comes to Pesach, what's the definition of matzah of lechem oini? One of those five minim, not the oiders and not the doichin. So here too, the lechem by chal is also one of those five minim. How do you know? Maybe you're allowed to go make matzahs out of oiders v'doichin and eat that at Seder night. How do you know only those five and not the other two? I have another pasuk. That's really the same pasuk. Leisoichel olav chamit shivas yamim. I'm sorry. Leisoichel olav chamit shivas yam toichel olav matzis lechem oini. So what's the connection between the two? Why does the pasuk bunch together? Don't eat chametz, but eat matzis. So tomorrow comes to tell you. When can you go and eat lechem oini and you be yoytze your mitzvah, especially at Seder night of eating matzah? If it's something that could have been chametz, and the Torah says, make sure it doesn't rise, it doesn't leaven, it doesn't become chametz, but you can eat it if it's still matzahs. Then it'll be beseder, exactly, especially if eating two sedarim, it'll be besedarim. So what happens now? Something that can become chametz, in other words, can rise, you can be yoytze with your matzahs. Yotze Elul comes to exclude these meaning the oiras and the doichin. Yes, something, there'll be some agitation if you make a dough out of Eretz V'doichen, but it's not going to rise to the level of Se'or Met Chimut, of a real professional cake, challah, bread, etc. Only day Sirchein. So therefore, that's why it's not included. So just like it's not included for matzah purposes, it's not included for chometz purposes, and therefore you have the Alechem and Lechem. Just like over here by Chal, it says Lechem, and the Gabi Matzitz, it says Lechem, and that Lechem means from the five minim, because it has to be a Dovra Boli de Chimutz, because it says in the same Pasuk, Chometz mit the Lechem Oini. So here too, it's only from those five minim, and not from the Oiretz V'doichen, or anything else similar to that.
Can you clarify Sirchon again? What is it?
Literally, the word Sirchon means stench. But here we don't mean stench.
It just rots. It just kind of rises and
it rises to a very, very inferior level.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Feel free to go and try it out in the store, rice flour, add water to it, go make a dough out of it, let it stand there for 10 minutes, for an hour, for 5 hours. And normally if you did that with regular flour, you'd see how the flour is overflowing the pot and you have to quickly put it back in, you have to beat it and all the rest. That's not going to be with your rice cakes. May rise maybe a half an inch or something, but that's about the maximum. Umitzarf imzemze. And these five are mitzarf. Now, the Gabi, what halacha are they mitzarf? So the Gemara gives four potential answers. Tanam. Hatvua va kimochim va betseikois. Mitzarf imze. Tvua is the original grain. Hakimochim is the flour. Habetzekois means something which you are in the middle of baking, or has already been baked, dough, or the final product. They are all mitzarev zemze. For what purpose? L'may hilchasem. Amrav kahana le'inyan chodosh. Excuse me. If a person were to go and eat a third of kazayis of the tvur, a third of the kazayis from the kemach, a third of the kazayis from the botzek, and all of them did not have the benefit of the korban u'oimer, then he would go and get malkis on the posik. So any one of these three, each one on its own, you'd be chayv, but also they're mitzarev together. If you eat a third, also mitzarev to be over the isser of chodesh. If you're not allowed to eat chametz of Pesach, if you do chas Hashem, you did it amazing. Chas Hashem is the isser of kares. What happens if a person did go and eat from a third of a kazayis of tvua, a third of kemach, a third of tzeikois, then in the mitzvah of chas v'shalom, that this person would go and get kares for eating chametz of Pesach. Reb Papa Amar le'inyan maaser sheini, di ochel le chutz l'choy malaki. As you know, it says, le'sucha lechol b'sharecha, maaser degon chatiroishach v'yitzarecha. You can't eat b'sharem just anywhere. You have to go im l'fnei ha'mokai m'she yivchar Hashem. You have to go to Yerushalayim and eat it there l'fnei ha'choyma. If you eat it outside, you're over an isalav. You're not allowed to eat these maaser sheni outside. What happens if you ate chutz l'choyma maaser sheni, a third of a kazayis of tvu, a third of kemach, a third of otzek? it's mitzdarif, you get malchus for eating maaser sheni chutz Yerushalayim. Rav amar le'inyan tumas ochlin. What's tumas ochlin? Tumas ochlin means both for transmission purposes and machloikis legabi reception purposes. What do you mean transmission and reception? There's a din of tumas ochlin. You have regular normal ochlin, regular fruits, vegetables, meat, whatever you happen to have. And now, if it gets tamei, how did it get tamei? It touched an avela. It touched a dead sheret. It touched whatever it touched, and it became tamei. Obviously, this is tamei. Question is, can it now transmit that tumah to other oichlin? And the answer is yes.
It depends.
You want to share with us what does it depend on? Let's hear.
No, go ahead.
No, tell us what does it depend on.
The size of a be'er or the size of a kezias?
So it has to have a minimum shear of a kebe'er to go and transmit tumah to something else. So if you have food that became tameh, minat torah, from your nevelis, from whatever, from a balkeri, from a nida, it became tameh. Now to transmit that tumah further to other oichlin, it has to have a minimum of shear kebe'er. Says our Gemara, according to Rava, that's what it means by the Tvuah Kamacha Mitzekus, that each one of these three became Tamei, and a third of a Kebeya of the Tvuah, a third of a Kebeya of the Kemach, a third of a Kebeya of the Batzek, they were all Tamei, they all merged together, and they touched other food items, they become Tamei. Question is, that they all to become Tamei in terms of receiving Tuma. And that's a Machloikis Rashi and Tosin, not over here. It's a Shas Machlekes, because you have a number of Rashis and Toises in Torah Shas that deals with this. Our Gemara doesn't go into that. They realize it's getting late. And what's the din legabe these three? According to Rashi, all you need is even a Mashahu to become Tamei. In other words, you don't need the Tziruf of the Tvua, the Kamachim, the Takers. As long as the transmitter has a full Shir Kebeya, it can go and touch even a little minimum amount of other food items, and they are Mekabel Tamei. According to Toises, no. Even for Tumas Oichlin, even on the side of the recipient, it also has to be a full shear of a kebeya. So therefore, the tziruf of the tvuah kamachim tzeikos is even on the recipient side, not only in the transmitting side. But according to transmitting, everybody agrees. So v'hokam mashmalan. So what is the chiddush? The tvuah kamachim tzeikos that they have a shem oichel. Ma hosam oichel be'enei avhocha nami oichel be'enei. So what he's telling us is that it has a status of oichel. Because if you were to go and take a nevela and touch this, well, I don't want to talk about kalim, so let's talk about that it touched a plastic cup. And let's assume a plastic cup does not have the status of kli. Now this plastic cup has touched the nevela. This plastic cup now touches food items. It's not a food, and assuming that it's not a kli, so it cannot go and transmit tumah. It's no different than, for instance, if you had eitzim v'avonim that were not fashioned into a kli. Even a kli, an eitz that was fashioned into a kli. It's only if it has a kli kibble, not if it happens to be pshuta kli. But you don't have to go so in such detail. You have a piece of wood that fell off the tree, and or you have rocks or pebbles which are on the ground, and you have nevelis that fall on it, and you have that shirotzim fall on it. They're not mekabel tumah. Since they're not mekabel tumah, they don't transmit tumah. So what the chiddush of our Gemara is by telling us that the three are get together to go and be metame, is that even legabe the tvua, it's metame just like the batzek. What's the chiddush in telling us that the tvua is just like the batzek? So here you have to add a couple of words because it really doesn't say it in the Gemara at this point. You'll see it in the next line or two. What the Gemara is doing at this point is it's differentiating between the tvuah of chitim and the tvuah of sa'irim, between wheat and barley. In the case of the wheat, even if the wheat is still encased in its original husk, and it's an original straw and chaff and all the rest, it is still considered to be oichel, and therefore it could be mitztarif, just like the kemach and just like the botzik, for purposes of transmitting tumah. Masha Enkin, if you're talking about the sa'irim, if it had on it still its husk or its chaff and all the rest, it would not go and transmit tumah. Not only the husk and the chaff wouldn't, but Rashi says even the kernel of barley inside would not transmit tumah. And the reason is because there's like a chatzitza of the outside husk or chaff that acts like a preventive door, like a vault of a bank. I'm sorry.
A buffer.
Still not a buffer, and doesn't allow for the tumma to reach that seed inside, or for that seed inside of the barley. When I say the seed, the kernel, to go and mimetami others as well, because it's got to be an oichel. Just to go and take a quick look at the Rashi. Rashi is Hatvua, three lines from the top. No, that's on a different thing. Mahasam, Oichlin, Vatanya Benichusa. Okay, so you have over here this Vatanya Benichusa. It's the fourth narrow line. Klipas Chitim Daka Varachihi. When you're talking about the klipa, that's the shell, the husk, whatever, of the Chitim, that is nice and thin, and it's nice and soft. Ru'uya Lechel, and therefore it's right to go and chew and eat. Ficha Mitztarefes. Therefore it's Mitztaref, together with the rest of the kernel of wheat for purposes of transmission of tumah. So oides is Rashi she'ena klufa, if it's still in its shell, ena mitzarefes im shar oichel in the kebaya. Vafilu oichel shebatoicha, even the oichel which is inside, even others the kernel of barley which is inside, which eventually, if you remove all of the outside trimmings, you shell it, then you can eat the oichel. But now, in the meantime, it's still inside. It's not metam me tumas oichel. Why? Mishum the klipa mafsekes. The klipa on the outside acts like a, you said, a buffer, like a protective zone of some sort. A chatzitza v'lei noigin oichlin adodi liyos chimer. So you can't go and be mitstarved as to any other oichlin because you have that impenetrable Mexican wall of the klipa around the side. Oh, so you see that there's a difference between the chitim and the soirim. The chitim, the klipa, does not act like your buffer, and in fact is mitztarif katsroi lechol, as opposed to the chaff or the shell around the soirim. So getting back to our Gemara now. So when the Gemara says, v'hokamashvulan, that they are mitztarif, that mahosav uchle be'enei, that if it's uchle be'en, like by the chitim, that klipa is mitztarif, afhokanami uchle be'enei, just like the botzek is totally edible, the chitim with their klipa is also totally edible, and that tak is mitzarev. But if you're talking about the barley, it's not edible, it's not mitzarev. V'hatanya here is b'loshen nichusa, I'll bring a tak a raya from a braisa. Chita ben kalufa ben she'ena kalufa. Chita, whether it has a shell on it, or it has been shelled, and there is no shell left on it, mitzarefes. That's mitzarev for purposes of Tumas Oichlin. So oira klufa mitzarefes. Klufa means that the shell has been removed. Then it's mitzarev, because you just have the kernel of the good barley in the inside. Sheina klufa mitzarefes, it's not mitzarev. Frank Timor Eini, I'll ask you a kasha. By Hilchis Tuma, but toilet vira vishmal. I'll call Zera Zerua She Yisrea, Kedesh Mani Odom Mitzian Lizria, just like how people go and take out for planting. Chita Bikli Posa, Usa Oida Bikli Posa, Vadashim Bikli Posan. What does it say about all of these three? The Posa called Golzera Zerua She Yisrea, what's the number three? V'chiyipol minevlosam. Minevlosam is talking about the nevela of the shrotim, of the shmoyne shrotim. If one of the shmoyne shrotim dies, pigers, expires, and that nevela now falls on zera zerua yeshe yizareya, meaning on food items, then toru, as long as it's still rooted in the ground, then it's toru, because mechuber is not mekabel tumah. But once it's cut, then it is mekabel tumah. So now, the Tanna of Rabbi Shmuel expands on this and says, what's this triple lashon? Zera zerua asher yizareya, keder shmadi odom yitzin lizria. Just like the way people go and take and give for purpose of planting. Chita biklipasa, soir biklipasa, vadash biklipasa. That all three of these, it doesn't have to be the chita or soir adashim on their own, but even if they're still in their klipa, if they're attached to the ground, they will not be mekabel tumah, they're toharhu. Why? Because of the fact that it's mechuber. And it makes no difference, your klipa, nish klipa. So we're equating the chita and the sa'ira biklipasa. Didn't we just make a difference a moment ago, lagabi hilchis tumah v'tahara, between chita ben klufa ben she'ena klufa, and the sa'ira between, we said the klufa is taka mitzarev, but ena klufa is not mitzarev. Evidimara loikasha ha balachos ha biyaveshos. It depends on the gabi, the barley, whether the outside husk is soft because it's wet and it's moist, or with yavesh, or whether it happens to be hard and it's dried out. What difference do the two make? So the second pshat of Rashi, which is the easier pshat of Rashi, but Rashi's not happy with that pshat, is that lachus means that it's nice and soft and moist, and therefore you can chew it because of the fact that it's easily chewable. Mash enken, if it's yoviv, it's hard like a rock. What's going to happen after you go and chew some of the soida biklipasa is you're going to have to go and make an emergency appointment with your dentist because three or four of your teeth will have broken by going and chewing these hard husks from the outside. So it's not derech achila, therefore it's not an ochel for purposes of tumas ochel. Ah, so that we said there is an ochel, lachs, nice, soft, supple, you can go and chew it, yeah, then it's tumas ochel, but not by yivashis. That's the second pshat of Rashi. Rashi has a problem with that because of a Mishnah b'raisa. Rashi has instead what he considers to be a better pshat, is the chili between lachas and yivashis is because we have something known as a shomer. Also, there's a teres yad. What means a shomer? Shomer means that the outside of the pri, the shell on the pri, that acts as a conductor, not of electricity, but it can be a conductor of tumah and also a recipient of tumah. In other words, if you have tumah that didn't touch the banana, but it touched the peel on the outside of the banana, that makes no difference because that banana peel is the shomer for the banana. Take the peel off the banana, leave the banana, you'll see how quickly it turns black and green and yellow and nobody's going to want to eat from it. Yeah. So that's called a shoimer. And since a shoimer is so basic and so necessary, so integral for the integrity of the banana, therefore it's considered to be bottled to and it's considered to be like a big banana as opposed to just the inside.
Ah, it's quite appealing.
It's quite appealing. Oh, lovely. Anyway, so says Rashi, the same thing. If it happens to be lach, then it's considered to be an effective shoimer because it stays on it and it clings to it and it cleaves to it. But if it's yovesh, it's easily breakable or easily, Rashi uses the term, I think, nifrach, that if a person steps on
whatever.
Separable. Okay, it's not a separable. And so therefore, it's not an integral part of the tvor. That's why if you have the tumah touching the outside yovesh dika klipa, it's not mitzaref, the tumah sakh. Now, what is this vasurim b'chodesh v'lefnei ha-pesach? The din of chodesh. Now, notice again, you have the aleph and the aleph that change the girsa. Vasurim b'chodesh v'lefnei ha-oimer. How do you know lefnei ha-oimer? Minu ani mili amreish lokish asya lechem lechem mimatza. I learn lechem lechem mimatza. Now, what means asya lechem lechem mimatza? So you have here in the middle of the amud lechem lechem. Now, the fact that there's a din of Isser Chodesh Malafnei HaPesach, I don't really need a fancy Loshen Asya Lechem Lechem Imatzah. I know my Pasuk. B'lechem v'koli v'charmel le'soichu et etzam yeyim hazeh ad aviyachem es korban lekechem. The Menon Emili is going on the five minim as opposed to the two minim. We said in our Mishnah that the five minei dogon, here is a din of Chodesh. But that doesn't apply to other dogon or to other peiros. So, look at Rashi. Rashi says, lechem lechem, lechem v'koli v'charmel le'soichu, ma matzah chameshes minim v'loy oiriz v'doichin. How do I know matzah chameshes minim v'loy oiriz v'doichin? We said that already on top because I learned matzah from chometz. It has to be something which is boli de chimutz and not li de sirchoim. Av chodesh nami chameshes minim v'suloy. The din of chodesh that you're not allowed to eat before the korban ha'omer on the first day of Chol HaMoed. It only applies to the chameshes minim. So if you have oiriz v'doichin and similar things, you do not have to wait for the Karmana Oimer because it only affects those 5 minutes. Getting back to the Gemara Vayta v'liktzar lefneo Oimer, meaning doing a ktsira, and again, you have the other gears, liktzar lefnei ha-pesach. How do you know you're not allowed to do ktsira of other of these 5 minim before Pesach? Asya reishis reishis mechala. What means reishis reishis? So reishis you have by chala. Chala is talking about, again, not the chala that we eat, but the chala that you give to the kohen. There it says, Reishis Arisei Seichem Chala Turimis Ruma. So it has a din, it's called Reishis. And we know by chala we have the 5 minim, because we learned that at the top of the Amid. We learned the Lechem Lechem, Vayu Bacholchem Lechem Aretz, Turimis Ruma Lashem. So that's the din of giving chala. And we learned that Lechem from Lechem Oini, from Pesach, and that's the 5 minim. Good. Now we're learning Reishis Reishis. So first Reishis is the Reishis Arisei Seichem Chala Turim Misruma. That's a din of Chala. And then we have Reishis Ktzirchem. that Reish Ktzircha means that the first Ktzira every year always has to be the Ktzira Sa'oimer. Ah, so I learned that just like one Reish is by the Chalas Tumah, the five Minim. Here too, the Reish is by the Reish Ktzircha is talking about the five Minim. Good. Put two dots, and now we continue on. My Koidim La'im. This Koidim La'im is not going back on this din of Ktzira. Barashi says, "My kodesh oimer that it's a surim b'chodosh lifnei oimer." What means the word oimer? We know what oimer means, the carbon oimer. The question is, when, where, what? Rabbi Yoina Omar kodesh ketziras oimer. When it says in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to eat chodosh, it means before the ketzira of the oimer, the cutting of the oimer. Now, when do you cut the oimer? You cut the oimer at night. Now, what does that mean? Right after the ketziras oimer, you can go and already start eating from the new chodosh
before the korban.
You have to bring the korban. In fact, that's what Rabbi Yosef bar Zavda Omar. Zavda Omar kodem havas oimer. Before you bring the korban, you cannot go and eat. So therefore, when it says in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to eat kodem lo oimer, it means before the bringing of the korban oimer. So Rabbi Yosef bar Zavda is very understandable. The question: what does Rabbi Yoina mean before the ktsiras oimer? Ktzira Sa'oimer doesn't accomplish anything in terms of being able to eat from the Chodesh. So Rashi reminds us of the earlier Gemaras. If you look at the Rashi, my koidim la'oimer, halfway down, titani masisim vasurim b'chodesh lafnei oimer, what does that mean? Koidim ktzira Sa'oimer. Avli'ach ktzira Sa'oimer shori lechel Chodesh, when? Beheir ha-mizrach. You don't have to wait for the korban already, heir ha-mizrach, you're already allowed to go and eat from the new Chodesh. Really, I thought you have to wait for the oimer. The Gemara, you remember, we had a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. And Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish said that the iser of lechem, the koli v'charmel, that you get malkis if you eat it before the carbon. Araviachem is carbon alekechem. However, the Gabi the din of eating, I'm sorry, the lav goes away as soon as heir hamizrach. Ad etzem hayoim hazeh. As soon as Heir Mizrach, Netzachama in the morning, 6 o'clock, or whenever the Netzachama happens, from that moment on, you can already eat Chodosh in terms of there's no lav. But it says, out of the Yachem is Korban Lekechem. That's the mitzvah. Mitzvah, you gotta wait until after you bring it. But if you didn't wait, you don't get Malkus, but you are not Mekayim the mitzvah. Ah, so therefore, when it says Ketziras Oimer, he doesn't mean literally Ketziras Oimer. It means you don't have to wait for the Havas Oimer, but you wait until Heir HaMizrach, and then you can go and start eating from the Chodesh. So that's Machloikas Reb Yoina and Reb Yosef bar Zavda. So now the Gemara asks the Kasha. Tanan. Asur Mechodosh, again here it says Lefnei HaPesach, and we switch the gears around. Asur Mechodosh Lefnei Hu Oimer, Veliktzor Lefnei HaPesach. You're now let it eat the Chodosh before the Oimer. And Ktzira before Pesach. So to Abishlam the Mandiyama Koidim Avos Oimer, meaning according to Rabbi Yosi Bar Zavda, Hainet Leka Orev Lehu Vetanilu. That's why we distinguish between the Isser Chodesh of eating and the Ktzira. Because when can you do the Ktzira? You can't do the Ktzira before the Ktzira Sa'oimer, but right after the Ktzira Sa'oimer, then you can go and do the Ktzira. Mashenken, they're talking about eating from the Chodesh, that you have to go and wait until after Havos Oimer. So there are two different zmanim here. There's a Ktzira Sa'oimer and there's the Havoah Sa'oimer. So that makes sense. That's why we didn't go and, like, Orev Lehu Vatanali. We didn't go and combine the two and say that both for eating Chodesh purposes and for Ktzira purposes, wait for the Oimer. Because they're two different zmanim of Oimer. One is the Ktzira at night and one is the Havoah the next day. Elaman Yamakun Ktzira Sa'oimer, if you're going to go and tell me that you can already start eating from Ktzira Sa'oimer means from Heir HaMizrach, and you're allowed to go and start cutting the new tvua as soon as you did the ktsira of the oimer. And Rashi says that the ktsira of oimer takes a while, and maybe they didn't have it immediately, didn't find it immediately, didn't cut it immediately. They waited. And therefore, often, Rashi says, it would be hamtona miktsira vad heira mizrach, that from the time of ktsira to heira mizrach is fairly a short, minimal time span. So therefore, Frank Timura, Elamandiyam, according to Tirsa Oimel, they've been a listener. Why don't we go and combine the two and say both Legabi, the consumption of the Chodosh, which is Heir HaMizrach, and the Nuktsira, which would be after the Oimel, which is also Samach Leheir HaMizrach, put them both together, and Asur B'Chodosh, Velikta Levnei HaPesach. Or Rashi says, perhaps it would be better to use the term, Asur B'Chodosh, Velikta Levnei HaOimer. And the both of them mean the Ktsira HaOimer. So the Gemara, you have a good point. The Chorya would have a good upfreg of Rabbi Yoina. Why does the Mishnah distinguish between Omer and Pesach? Eli Itmara Seife Itmar. Rather say that this machloik is between the two. Rabbi Yoina of Kodim Ktsira Zayim. And Rabbi Yoina of Zav, the Kodim of Ozayim, is referring to the Seife of the Mishnah. What's the Seife? Im Hishrishu Kodim Li Omer. What happens if it was Mushrosh in the ground, this Tvua, before the Omer, even though you only harvested it a month or two later, Omer Matira. Now the question is, when we said in Mishrishu Koidim La'Omer, my Koidim La'Omer, what does that mean in terms of the Hashrasha in the ground? As long as by 10 o'clock the next morning when we're bringing the Korban Omer, it was already Mushra then, the Omer is Matir, and you don't have to wait for the next Omer a year later. No. Make sure that it's Mushrish down below already at the night of Ktsira Sa'imer. In other words, 12 hours before, 14 hours before the time they're doing Ktsira at night, go and inspect the Shirashim. If you see that the Tvua, the seeds that you put in, are now have already decomposed and sprouted into roots, then you don't have to wait for the next Omer a year later. However, if they haven't sprouted, you have to wait until the next morning, then sorry, you do not have the benefit of the Hashrosha Koidim Lo'imer. So the Machlokes has nothing to do with what we're talking about before. It has to do with the Hashrosha being permitted through the Omer. I'm going to stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. Mechem continue tomorrow by Zoom.